courage to let me succeed, ride this adventure and have all the love I need.
Welcome, everyone, to the Peaceful Planet Show. This is your host, Marcia McMahon, and we have a wonderful guest on air with us today, all the way from Australia. Welcome to you, Richard Presser.
Thank you, Marcia. I really appreciate the opportunity to join you today.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on our show. We're very delighted to have you. And I want to alert our listeners that you were listening to the song titled Courage, which is being sung and produced by Queen Ladybug in Britain, and you can find more about her at MySpace/TheQueenLadybug. She does some wonderful musical stuff, and she also feels inspired by John Lennon in some of her work. And, of course, we always feature the work, the music of Bob Murray, which I want to quickly mention, and he's writing some wonderful songs through the inspiration of John Lennon and George Harrison and other luminaries on the other side, and you can hear his music at www.thestarsstillshine.com. I'd like to welcome you all to our special program today. We have Richard Presser, who is all the way in Australia, who's agreed to come on our show and get up extra early so that he can tell us about his really interesting e-book. And I found it very fascinating to read through a lot of your work, Richard.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So let me give out Richard's bio and his website, and then at some point during the interview, I have a special new message from Archangel Michael that I think relates to ascension. And this show, by the way, It's part of our Ascension series that we cover regularly on the Peaceful Planet Show to get more of an idea of what's really going on planet Earth, in the solar system, and in the cosmos at large. So Richard's going to enlighten us to that, and I'm going to read his bio. Dr. Richard Presser has worked mainly in sales, marketing, and general management in the IT industry. About 15 years ago, he suddenly realized that all the success in the outer world he had been building did nothing to the void he felt inside himself, a void he hadn't acknowledged was there until he realized he'd been trying and failing to fill it. So began his spiritual journey, a journey that seemed to have no answers and no end, a journey upon which everything he touched seemed to turn to dust, until early 2007, when the pieces of the puzzle began to come together. He was guided and inspired to write an e-book titled The Coming Golden Age and How to Prepare for It, which aims to awaken others to the lifting up of human consciousness that is at our doorstep, referred to by many as Ascension. And Richard is coming to us all the way today from Melbourne, Australia, where he tells me they're experiencing fall, although most of us in the U.S. are thinking about the daffodils that are up right now. So it's great to have you, Richard, and have you all the way from halfway around the globe.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Yes, it's wonderful to hear that wonderful Australian accent, too. I really love it. And so we're going to refer our listeners to the website. If you visit About This Show on Station 1 and you click on the link relating to the Peaceful Planet, you will bring up Richard's website, which is, again, Richard, would you fill us in?
Yes, it's www.thecominggoldenage.com.
Thecominggoldenage.com, and that is sort of an overview of what your ebook is all about. And I like the honesty in your bio here, because it doesn't have a lot of pretentiousness like most New Age bios have. I think it's rather humble that you have been on a spiritual search for quite some time and that you've only just now come into this and felt the need to put an ebook together. But I thought it was well done, and you highlight a lot of different science aspects because you're coming from a science background, correct?
Yes, in a sense, a part of what I was doing was building a bridge that made sense, I guess, for someone coming a little from my background, if you will, that someone could perhaps follow. Because, yes, I do have a science and engineering background, and have been tracking for quite some time what science is telling us about the nature of our reality. And the other thing is that I refer quite a bit to channeled work, and in Western society, still the idea of channeled material is not very widely accepted.
You can say that again, and I'm a channel as well, and I know what I have is very accurate, and people are inclined to mistrust channeling. And I feel that it's foolishness to mistrust channeling, because so much of it is really just information from the higher realms that's being given to us, because there's no other way for it to be conveyed. And we are in this incredible transitional shift, if you will. And we do need to have some information about it. And science, and as it interfaces with spirituality, is just such a whole new medium, isn't it?
It is, and I think the reason it's so strongly resisted in our culture is firstly the church did a very good job of packaging channeling as a source with Satan, so that's there in the Bible, and secondly, any particularly women who showed any kind of psychic capability for many 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 years were branded as witches and burned at the stake. So we have fairly strong cultural mores that, even though we may not consciously acknowledge them, they're very powerful.
Well, you know, St. Joan of Arc was one of them burned at the stake, but actually everything she channeled, she was a channel, and everything she channeled you know, helped win the war against Britain at the time. So, I mean, I don't know how they get away with it, but they have done a job on people's heads with regard to channeling, but I strongly disagree with their opinions about it. Of course, I've had my own validated many times, but, you know, that is very true. And at the same time, I noticed that you resonate very strongly with a friend of mine, Carolyn Evers' work. And Carolyn was one of the first guests I ever had on BBS, and actually it was through my intervention that she came to have all the programs that she does on BBS radio. So I'm glad
that
her work
that's fantastic. She is
she's a great
channel. Become a special friend of mine, actually.
Me too,
she's a special lady. Really, I guess my awakening, if you can call it that, really began when I connected with Carolyn and the work that she began last year. So that connection has, you know, been very important to me. And it's very interesting. If you'd have said to me 12 months ago that I was going to write my e-book, I'd have asked you what on earth you were talking about.
Oh, really?
In fact, then I had no inkling I was going to write it.
Are you still working in the sciences, Richard?
No, I'm selling software to pay the bills at this point in time. I don't expect that to continue forever, but I'm doing that and I guess growing my spiritually related activities, if you will.
Wonderful. Okay, I just wondered if you were still in it or not, because I'm still in academia, and sometimes once you come out with published material, it's, you know, you meet up with the same level of persecution and ignorance. You can anyway. So, you know, I just keep my work with the university separate from what I'm doing on air, except that I do invite my students to listen because I think that we actually need this relevant information. I mean, people that don't know that ascension's coming but whose souls might have chosen it are kind of in for a whammy, aren't they?
They sure are. And, yes, I do have a degree of separation in my life. So the separation is gradually eroding, and with time I think will disappear.
I hope so. With me.
But I think, yes. Sorry, I missed that.
No, I said I hope the separation between the two professions does disappear in time, but I've noticed with myself anyway that I have to be fairly careful what I say to whom, you know.
Yes, I do understand.
Mm-hmm. So go on then about what some of the discoveries you made were really incredible, and I didn't find anybody else except for John J. Harper, who I think you should get to know because he is a scientist as well, was on my show a couple weeks ago and has done some incredible overlap of, you know, science and spirituality, and he's coming from a science background too. So, you know, I'm not a scientist, so I haven't clue one about quantum physics, but I've seen what the bleep, you know, like so many people have.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think what the bleep did a great job of opening that conversation, and I was fascinated when I first saw that when it first came out in Australia, and went along to one of the very first releases, invited along by a friend, and I just sat in the audience and laughed and laughed and laughed because it was saying things that I knew and really hadn't been expressed in that way before. And I was just so excited to see what at that point was an extraordinary piece of groundbreaking work. There are other scientists who made the step. For example, Greg Braden comes from that scientific background and also does a great bridging of the science and spiritual sides, albeit from a different place and angle than the one that I have taken.
Mm-hmm. Well, yours is rather integrative in that every time you mention someone in the e-book, you provide a link, and then you have to link out to these various authors and scientists to get a little bit more. I wondered also if you would mind... And I want to talk about the DNA, and then after we discuss it, remind me, I want to read a message from Archangel Michael that I have today on DNA. So let's key into DNA that's changing right now, and the experiment that Vladimir Popovich, am I pronouncing that?
Popovich,
yeah. Popovich. Tell us about his DNA experiment and when that was done and how that what that's informing us of.
Okay. Well, firstly, just a couple of comments about DNA. Most of us tend to think that our DNA is basically defined genetically by our parents, if you will, and that's fixed and finite throughout our lives. However, there is quite a body of growing evidence that, in fact, our DNA is dynamic, and it does, in fact, respond to our emotional state and also, if you will, our karmic clearing, karmic history, and our desire, intention, and undertakings to clear that karmic history does indeed affect our DNA structure. So it's a much more dynamic thing. The second aspect of DNA is that we currently operate with a two-strand active DNA structure. In Atlantean time, we had, I believe, a 12-strand DNA structure, and we are returning to that as part of the ascension process. There is that aspect of it. But the work that Popovich was talking about was the fact that if you insert some DNA into polarized light, that light, in fact, actually shapes itself to the DNA strands. In other words, our DNA has the ability to shape light, which is quite extraordinary. The really interesting aspect of it, well, that's interesting in itself, but the second aspect of it is that when the DNA is actually removed from the light, the patterning of the DNA remained within the light structure. Quite extraordinary.
Yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So what I'm saying there is that not only does our DNA impact our surroundings, if you will, but in fact it can impose a lasting shift.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I had Dr. Harper on a few weeks ago, and you really ought to, and I'm saying not just to you, Richard, but to our listening audience, to download the March 15th archives with Dr. John J. Harper, he was talking about this too, and a lot of people feel that our DNA is shifting to the 12th strand. And not only that, but he was saying that the DNA retains its complete cell strand, whatever, in the etheric realm. And we may be going to a more etheric realm with ascension, and that our DNA will continue to exist on the higher planes over on that end. That end, and that when we come into incarnation, we're just picking up on a couple of strands. But I just wonder, how would it feel to have all your 12 strands activated, and what is all this talk, you know, about DNA activation? I mean, how do we know when we've got it activated or not? And I've got a message from Archangel Michael on this very thing, but before I get to that, I was just going to ask you casually what you felt about that, or if you felt that yours has been activated, or how do we know when we're there?
Marcia, I really don't know the answer to that question. I have done some work in which I have been told that that has been activated, but really I do not know.
I don't either.
And I certainly can't give anybody guidance as to how one will tell or at what point that will occur. I simply don't... I don't have the knowledge on that.
I think, though, that intention plays a part, and I wasn't trying to trip you up. It's just a buzzword these days. You hear it in every other channeling. Your DNA needs to be activated, or you've already been activated. So anyway, on that sort of slightly humorous note, I'm going to read this message here, with all seriousness and respect given, of course, to the wonderful Archangel Michael. And this is called Archangel Michael's Message on the Grail. And the context of this message was that I was on retreat recently at a very sacred place called Grailville in southern Ohio. And there was a founding community of women there in the Catholic lay retreat movement back in, I don't know, the 40s, 50s sometime, who laid a foundation and they were on a search for truth. And they started out as lay Catholics, and they ended up in a situation where they are now. There's only a few of them left of the original Grail women, where they are completely ecumenical to the point where they don't even distinguish among Christian denominations. They're completely Eastern, Western, everything. And they feel the truth resides in every tradition. So with that, I'm going to read this message then, and we'll get back to the discussion on DNA. Greetings, my child. It is I, Archangel Michael. We wish to thank the original founders of the Grail, who so lovingly laid the foundation for the mass awakening of the Grail codes. The Grail codes are latent, dormant DNA that is now being activated around our planet thanks to the hard work of those who respect the divine feminine. The true meaning of the Grail is the divine feminine. While all are on different spiritual journeys and the guidance of the angels and archangels for the foundations of this Grail remnant is heartfelt, while many will never know the love and sacrifice that you made, we do. Regard this message as true. I leave you in blessing and truth today, and thank you for the formation of the Grail codes. So I think what he was saying here about this community is that they had done some important work in bringing the awareness of the divine feminine to the mass consciousness through the Catholic Church. And then it expanded from there into a more all-encompassing spirituality, which I truly resonate with. The place is beautiful. But back to DNA and the divine feminine. Can you tell us a little bit more then about some of the other science and the other things that you discovered along the way? You also mentioned other aspects of DNA and Fred Allen Wolf's work and other scientists as well. So let's broaden the discussion a little bit, unless you wanted to add to the DNA topic.
Interestingly, probably more the divine feminine is of interest to me, so we'll come back to that thread in a moment. But
sure.
Really, I guess the focus of my discussion on the science side, and if somebody is looking for what I think is a really good discussion of this, it's not the original version of What the Bleep, which was fantastic. There is a later version, which is called the Collector's Edition, and that has something like 5 hours of interview material with the scientists and others, other experts who were a part of What the Bleep, and a couple of additional people. Dean Radin is brought on to that material, for example, who has done some fantastic work, and he, if I recall correctly, was not originally part of What the Bleep. But so essentially, what modern science is telling us, if I can just summarize it, is that this reality in which we live is not what it seems. It really, you know, if you follow the science through, which indeed applies to pretty much any discipline that you might follow with vigilance and sufficient intention, you will come to the same point, and that is ultimately that we are all one. It simply falls out of the pursuit of anything with vigilance and focus. You know, I mean, that essentially, if you like, the great scientists have simply followed a path which is different from the spiritual teachings, but they all finish up in the same place, and that is really, to me, the great thing that's come out of modern science.
Well,
it's its own spiritual path.
Mm-hmm. I was reading some of Fred Allen's work before the show today, and I thought that it was interesting that he was quoting the Kabbalah, and he was getting into the mystical side of things. As a scientist, I wouldn't have expected that.
Fred is a real example of somebody who has lived the bridging of those two, if you like, disciplines or approaches to life. Spirituality has been a significant part of Fred's life, I think, from the early days. So in a sense, as he pursued his science, spirituality kind of emerged as something to understand and look at how to bridge them together. And he has been pretty fearless in some of that work. I mean, he's worked with shamans in many countries to understand their views and traditions and so on. And so some of his material is quite fascinating from that perspective.
I haven't read much of it, but he was featured in What the Bleep, and wasn't that Dr. Emoto, who was doing the research on water, also featured in What the Bleep?
He wasn't specifically mentioned, but his work was, yes.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was fantastic. I'm fascinated by that. Now, we were going to discuss a little bit about the message that Archangel Michael gave and the Divine Feminine, and I would like to get your thoughts on how that relates and how you feel that ties in with DNA awakening, and where are we exactly going then as a human species, and how do you see the Divine Feminine?
Great. For me, we've been living for quite a long time on this planet in the absence of the Divine Feminine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Part of this awakening is that return, and indeed it has begun in earnest. I'm not sure if you're aware of the work of Michelle Denman, who is a very exciting and powerful channel. She is Elohim incarnate, and she has been doing some work to working directly with Mother Goddess, the feminine aspect of God, to bring that energy into the planet. I'm not saying she's the only one that's been doing it, but I'm very aware of that work because I've participated in some of it.
I only heard a portion of her tape, but I thought it was good, but then it just cut off. It seemed to be corrupted, whatever I got, but I appreciate your passing it along. It seemed very hard.
Okay. It's very powerful work that she has been doing, and the key message out of that is that the Divine Feminine has returned to the planet, and that is an exciting time. And one of the things that she refers to in that channeling is takes us to Revelation, I think it's 21, 1-5, which really talks about exactly what is unfolding at this time. So really a key part of what's happening is the return of the Divine Feminine. Now this is a lot of people listening to this may think that we're referring to this simply as being an aspect of women. It's not. Both men and women carry both the masculine and feminine aspects, particularly as it will be expressed, both the Divine Feminine and Divine Masculine aspects.
Mm-hmm.
So we are at this very time, we're here in early April. There's also been other work done particularly through the month of March to ground and activate the Divine Feminine aspects on the planet. And as we move into April, we're now seeing that complementary aspect beginning to emerge, the grounding of the Divine Masculine. So what we are seeing is really a return of those fundamental archetypes to the planet and to the consciousness of mankind. So they are powerful aspects of the ascension process.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and
I would say
how I see ascension, to answer the other aspect of your question, is that as I understand it, we will be moving, if you like, vibrationally to the highest level at which people have been, at which, not people, but souls have been embodied. And one of the exciting things I've come to understand is that as we embody in this environment today, simply a small aspect of who we truly are, our true soul self, is expressed here. As we ascend, the totality of who we are will actually be expressed in our physicality, which is going to be a truly extraordinary time.
Because, you know, I have different messages from different angelic beings on the other side, describing ascension in very different ways. When I work with Archangel Michael, I get a different flavor than when I work with Ra. And Ra has channeled through Edgar Cayce and then more recently Carla Rueckert and some of the others. And I'm not a spokesman by any stretch for the Ra group. Carla is primarily, and she's on our network too. But it's a totally different kind of feeling. All of it going in a positive direction, but all of it accompanied by these dramatic earth changes and changes in our physical. And I believe, and you know, harkening back to Dr. Harper's interview too, that we are actually going to experience some physical changes that will be very dramatic on planet Earth before the change called ascension happens. And a lot of people are pointing to that 2012 gateway and what that is. And, you know, I have some other messages that I may work into the interview as we go, Richard, but you were doing some work in your book and you were identifying maybe the Pleiades as having something to do with the planetary and cosmic changes that are going on. I have different material that seems to resonate more with the great central sun and all of that being in the center of this cosmos, but I was fascinated with what you had because I just hadn't encountered the Pleiades as part of this whole paradigm. So I was wondering if you could explain that a little better to me.
Well, I think perhaps the best way I can express that is that we are, as I understand it, and let me say that I am not a channel. One of the interesting things I find it a little humorous, really, is that I have come to understand I'm pretty deeply connected to these changes, and really all that I've had to follow has been my intuition, and through that I've connected with a number of channelers because that has been such an important source of material for me and for the planet.
And it is. I think all of it is very important that's coming out right now. People need to open their minds.
I would just add that I think, as in so many aspects of particularly this, the ascension process, we need to bring some discernment to viewing the material that's channeled. I think there is quite a lot of material which is coming from ostensibly channeled sources, which I would not trust. Because I don't think it's coming from its direct source. So I think there is a need to, for all of us to apply some discernment as we look at what the channel material is. And you mentioned, as we went along a little earlier, that you've had validation of some of your material. And I think that's an extremely important thing. And that's actually one of the things I do in my ebook in relation to some of Carolyn Ever's channeled material. I do a correlation with evidence in this domain, some of which is pretty powerful.
The way you correlate channeled material to the science. It makes perfect sense to me, being an intuitive, although I don't know the science end of it that well. I'm beginning to get it more of a grip on what these planetary changes are. I know all of the planets in the solar system are getting much, much brighter. And a lot of the planets in the solar system have had, pole shifts already. And there's an anticipated pole shift coming up for Earth, slated to be 2012. You know, again, you get so much material, some of it scientific, some of it channeled, and it is hard to synthesize it all together.
It is. Just on a couple of things, I haven't quite covered off the Pleiadian issue, and I will come back to that in a moment, but just touching on the pole shift, interestingly, I participated yesterday in a session with Carolyn Evers, in relation to, it was an interview with Mother Mary, and she actually raised the question of the pole shift and said there would not be a pole shift as part of this process.
I trust that because I trust Mother Mary, and I also work with Mother Mary, so I believe that, you know, a lot of what Carolyn brings through is very accurate, but I've brought through some different things that are markedly different from her, And we all get, you know, we all have to use our powers of discernment. You're quite right about that. So, about the Pleiades. Now, I have not gotten anything from the Heavenly Host or Archangel Michael or Ra, any of the very high guides that I trust and work with, on the Pleiades. And I was just curious if you would enlighten us as to some of the information that you have, be it scientific or channel, because I had never heard of any of this before. And I'm really just getting accustomed to this idea, you know. I test everything like you do. I test the waters, and I go there if it seems like, you know, the water feels right, and if it doesn't, then I don't go there, and that's how I am with science and with channeling. And I think we all have to use that God-given power of discernment.
I agree completely. You're applying discernment. You're using your intuition to assess these things, and I think that's extremely important. What I would say is that we are getting a lot of assistance in this process from a lot of more advanced, I guess is the word, beings, embodied beings that are resonating at a higher vibrational frequency than we currently are. The Pleiadians are amongst that, or certainly aspects of them.
Mm-hmm.
The Arcturians are also significantly involved. There's a fair bit of evidence that they've been very active in the creation of crop circles. I'm not saying they're the only source of them, but they're certainly very active in that. I got involved with some of the work of a guy called Janosch, who is a Dutch guy who is also channeling quite a lot of Arcturian material. And in fact, it was through his work that I actually got involved in the first Divine Feminine Activation last year. Some people refer to the Divine Feminine energies as the Magdalena codes, Magdalena energies, and because Mary Magdalene, of course, carried the Divine Feminine on the planet when she was here. But we're getting assistance
first too. In my message, I'm calling it the Grail Code. The Grail is another word for Mary Magdalene, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So that's right. Now, I met up with somebody that was Dutch and had them on my show, and they were working with the Arcturians, but they were doing their music, and I'm not sure that was the same guy. In fact, I'm sure it wasn't, but it's interesting, out of Holland, too. So what was the premise that you had run across with some of the theories on the Pleiades and how they're affecting us in a stellar way, in a star-like way?
It's not something that I'm that close to, Marcia, in terms of their specific activities, and I don't get into that too much. But certainly they are active in helping where they can in this ascension process. Perhaps my most direct experience of their activities is I did quite a lot of work last year with a very powerful healer. I was aware that I needed to undertake some pretty deep clearing work. I didn't really understand why or what it was about. I just knew I had to get it done. And I worked with a lady called Christine Long, and Christine channeled some Pleiadian entities in her deepest healing work. It's quite extraordinary work that she does. So that's been a very direct experience I've had of very positive engagement that they have in helping us move forward. I'm also aware of a number of channels who channel Pleiadian entities in their channeling work.
Mm-hmm. I've had some people.
But that's
on
about
my show.
As close as I've been.
I had a lady that does Mother Mira, who is from the Pleiades. But, you know, the Pleiades. But I was asking more specifically what the science was. You were talking about some kind of asteroid belt or something with extra light coming in and the great central sun being located somewhere over there in the Pleiades. I remember reading that in your book. Can you elaborate?
There are a number of cycles. One of the things I speak about quite a bit in my ebook is the role of cycles, because a lot of what unfolds in consciousness is very much based on recurring cycles, if you will. And one of the exciting things that I realized as I began to look at this work was that there are major cycles completing. Now, there is one that a number of people focus on, which is passage through what's called the photon belt, if you will, and that is when the planet essentially passes through the, if you like, the plane of the Milky Way. And yes, the central sun is said to reside effectively in the Pleiadian galaxy. So that's the connection. So a lot of people talk about the impact of what's called monastic radiation. Now that every 26,000 years the Earth completes that cycle. That happens to be completing at this point in time. That is one of the cycles that's completing. However, from my understanding, there are two, if you like, more major cycles which are in play at this point in time. One of those is effectively the completion of this cycle of mankind living in duality, if you will, living in this time of disconnection from source, such that we have been able to experience the full gamut of emotion. I don't think we need to reflect on it terribly long to realize that if we lived our lives with an open and aware connection to source, that would be a fairly loving and blissful experience, not exactly an opportunity to experience the extraordinary array of emotions that we experience on this planet. So, in a way, it was set up as a 200,000-year experiment. The reason I say 200,000 years is that it started at the same time as the explosion of a supernova, which is referred to as supernova 1987A. It has that name because that's when the energies first began to turn up on this planet. No energy is ever lost or wasted. It simply gets reused in other ways. And so the ending of this cycle of duality was actually planned at its beginning. Those energies first began to turn up in 1987 and continue to bathe the planet. However, the really biggie is a thing called the cycle of the Eye of Isis, which is like a searchlight, if you will, coming directly from source, and it passes right round the cosmos. And it does a pass about once every million years or so. That turned up in force on this planet around about the beginning of this year. So that's one of the reasons we've seen such an acceleration in the energies and the changes on the planet since the beginning of this year. Anybody that's aware of energies will be aware of the huge changes. I mean, there was a lot going on last year and has been for some time, kind of building up. Off the impact, particularly of the supernova energies, but things have really begun to accelerate this year with the arrival of the Eye of Isis. And one of the promises of that.
I didn't realize that it was actually here, but it doesn't surprise me with what you're telling me. So
it's here.
This Eye of Isis, is there a scientific basis to it, or is it a metaphysical phenomenon exclusively?
I'm not aware of a scientific base to it. It is purely come to me from channeled sources.
Well, I agree that we're definitely in the throes of awakening, and I think for some people it's a difficult process, but I've been working on mine for some time. If you've been working on your awakening, you should begin to get much more comfortable with channeling, and you better tune in to what Richard's saying here, because he's speaking truth, dear audience. And I'm corroborating what you're saying, Richard, although all of this may sound like stuff that really is weird, you know, to the layman's ear. It seems as though humanity is in a process of mass awakening, is what I would call it. You can simplify it to that, but there's a lot of different aspects going on.
Yes. Mass awakening is a good term. I think the mass side of it is yet to unfold. I'm just not sure when that will start, but I think in terms of visible change on the planet, one of the promises of the Eye of Isis is that all secrets will be revealed, and both of the dark and of the light. So I expect to start to see this year some exposure of, if you like, the manipulation and so on, which has gone on and is still going on this planet. And I think we'll see some extraordinary exposures begin to emerge
revelations
this year.
Yes. Well, you know, I work with Princess Diana, and she's been giving me messages to come public in the last year about her accident, which she says is not an accident. And then, of course, recently they had the inquest, and we did a session regarding that. She was very disappointed in the findings with the inquest, and I was expecting the energy to reveal a lot more, but those are my expectations, and she tells me that the monarch has to pass the spirit before all can be revealed. So, you know, it is going to be revealed. I believe a lot of these corruptions and schemes behind various things, like her accident, if it was in fact murder, will be revealed, and people won't have a choice in the matter. It'll just be out. We've seen a lot of that already in the news, haven't we? Doesn't seem like every day there's some new tabloid thing with corruption with our politicians. You know, in the last month or so, there were quite a few corruption cases here in the States, in the state of New York, with Elliot Spitzer and some of these others. But I take that to be also a function of the Eye of Isis, of what you're speaking of in a metaphor. The Eye of Isis is God's light being shed upon everything, one and all, in an equal way, so that the good shall stand out and shine, and the evil will be exposed for the frauds that they are. That's how
I don't think most people begin to imagine the degree of control which is in place on this planet. I mean, the truth of the matter is that the political structures are very much controlled by the people that control the money on the planet.
Yeah, right.
And they are, you know, the Rothschild and Rockefeller families. And this material
exactly.
is pretty readily available on the
yeah.
net these days. Some of the wonderful material coming through from David Wilcock, who many consider to be the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I'm not going to make a comment in relation to that because I don't know. I'm simply commenting on David as an individual as I find him, and I find him to be very genuine, very real, very much connected with this unfolding and very well informed.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he's part of
and,
it all. And
he's making a great
before.
Contribution. Similarly, you know, the level of control of the so-called Bilderbergers, if you will, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but there is a whole elite control group behind the scenes. The impact of things like the harp energies, which are being pumped into our biosphere to essentially for control and manipulation purposes and a bunch of other things. It's quite extraordinary what is going on that most people aren't aware of. I expect that to start to be exposed this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope that a lot of these corruptions and secret government programs that are only detrimental to the human being are exposed for what they are and put to some sort of an end, you know. I also have messages from the host of Heaven that talk about new leadership in America and that being a forerunner for peace for the nation. So apparently a lot is going to come together in this year, and we're going to see a lot of change in this year. So I rather relish the idea of change, finally, something different than this presidency, this Iraq war, and the stagnation in the Middle East, you know. But I work on issues related to the Middle East and peace with Diana, and that's a very trying subject at times. It's hard to even turn your television on and watch all that stuff going on, you know. So, I mean, I think a lot of us are pretty tired of trying to affect change on the planet and create peace for the planet when it is still in the grip of these controlling factions that do not want to give up any of their power at all. and still want to perpetuate these horrible wars and this continuation of unnecessary violence against humanity, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's
I'm just waiting to see which is the brick that causes the House of Cards to come down. My sense is perhaps the truth about 9/11 will be the thing that'll start to bring things apart, because that's very, I feel that's very close to coming out.
You do, huh? I get a sense that there will be peace in the Middle East by not so much, I work particularly with Diana on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and I feel that by the end of this year they may have a deal. But again, we can't be too sure, because, you know, things can always go haywire with that situation. It's volatile. I can't predict with any assurance, but I also feel like the war in Iraq, because of the elections in America, that we're going to get somebody in that's going to end the war. I just don't foresee John McCain taking the presidency and continuing the war. I just don't think people want that. That's obvious, you know. Though I don't get into politics or endorse any candidates on my program, of course. So I do see some positive change coming up in the next year for 208. 208 seems to just be ordained as a very special year in many, many ways. And I'm glad you're enjoying all of the work you're doing with your various contacts through channeling, and would encourage you to tap into some of mine sometime too. I do send out a newsletter. I don't know if you've read those in the past, but I'm planning to do some conference calls coming up in spring and summer as well. So, you know, it's a fascinating time in which to live, and there is a lot to learn. And I think once you start to uncover, it's like unpeeling an onion. Once you start to uncover these things that are going on, your curiosity does get whetted, and you keep moving ahead in your spiritual growth, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, my life is built around my spiritual journey these days. It's central to what I'm about. I'm very clear about that. I'm still figuring out the pieces of the puzzle, if you will. I don't fully understand what my role in all of this. I do feel at some point I'll be teaching, it might sound crazy, but I don't feel I've got actually been given the knowledge yet in terms of what it is I'll actually be teaching. That might sound a little odd, but I think it's part of the unfolding of things. I'm kind of getting used to having this intuitive sense of things, but not having the actual knowledge in place that fits with it. I've had enough of the pieces come into place now to get a little more comfortable with trusting that intuitive sense.
Well, you know, you've made a really tremendous about-face, considering that you were trained scientifically with the analytical method of deductive logic and all those things that they teach you in college. And, you know, I think in order to comprehend ascension, you need a little bit of science as well as the channeling as a complement, so that you can begin to understand these planetary changes, these solar system changes. It's vast, and in our human finite way, we cannot know it all. So we're ever always, in my opinion anyway, as a learner and a teacher, I'm perpetually on the path of greater knowledge and understanding. And I appreciate the work that you've done in your wonderful ebook, Richard, and in integrating science with spirituality, because I think that's right where it's at, and I've always felt that that's right where it's at, even though we have various academia disciplines that claim elsewise. I don't think that's the case. I think it is leading to an accelerated ascension for humanity, and what that is and what that's going to be, I think remains to be the greatest mystery on the planet right now. As far as what it
yes,
is, what we look
it is.
Like when we get to the other side of 2012, you know?
It's a very interesting time, yes, we will see a lot of change. I think exactly how it's all going to unfold, we don't yet understand. I mean, one of the big drivers for me is working out how I can best help others understand what is on our doorstep and begin to prepare. And that really was the driver in putting my ebook together. I must say, I was deeply humbled when I found out through a channeling from Carolyn that Mother Mary had been guiding me in the writing of this. And perhaps an even more humbling element was the response I've had from a number of people who've read my ebook, who found a real energy to the ebook itself in their reading of it, as experienced an energetic shift as they've done so. And I take no direct credit for that aspect of it. It's simply what's been given to me to pass on to those who read it. But it's been, I use the word humbling, and that's it. To find myself acting as that vehicle for that aspect of the communication in what I've written has just been really profound for me.
I liked your book very much, and let's refer our readers to it. We are going to have to conclude because we are out of time here. Richard, your website is, again, say the website for us.
It's www.thecominggoldenage.com. When you write that, remember, Coming Golden has two G's in the middle.
Okay, Richard. Well, I'm going to close out with a song by John Lennon, as inspired through Bob Murray, called Appreciated Angels, and we appreciate the angels in our lives. Thank you, Richard, for appearing on our program with us today, and thank you, Michael, for having me. And thank you for integrating science and your spirituality, and we look forward to speaking with you once again when you've decided what it is that you're going to do next with all this information. So keep up the good work. Thank you again for your contribution and for coming.
Thank you, Marcia. I really appreciate it.
All right. And we're going to tune in to Appreciated Angels by Bob Murray, and we thank our listeners for joining us, and we ask you to join us again next week. We're going to bring in some wonderful music from another talented New Age artist.
our time, we invite you to join her as she shares powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. To find out more about Almeen and her work for the Mother Goddess of All Life, visit spiritualjourneys.com. As a Toltec Nahual, Almeen sees a life dedicated to setting others free from illusion, and her insights into cosmology and man's role in the macrocosm are undeniably groundbreaking. Sunday nights at 8:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, tune into Windows into Eternity for the most cutting-edge discussion of ascension one can find.